But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with a welfare check on Missouri. Move on to the Republicans' rebuttal to Biden's State of the Union address, and follow all of that up with the latest AI-generated lies coming from MAGA. Let's begin, shall we? With the bogus SCOTUS overturning Roe v. Wade and Alabama's recent ruling that embryos are children too, America is starting to become a hostile environment for women. For example, Missouri has had a law on the books that's recently received social media exposure for being shockingly misogynistic and maybe a bit racist.
Turns out Missouri is one of four states that doesn't let pregnant women finalize a divorce.
Part of the reasoning for this is that a custody agreement has to be in place first, and if a woman's pregnant, that can't be done till the baby's born.
While a couple can still file, the court must wait until after a woman gives birth in order to finalize child custody and support. When it comes to domestic violence, there's no exceptions.
There's four other states, Arkansas, Arizona, Texas, and California, that have similar laws in place. But Texas and California do make exceptions for domestic violence. This law was written back in the 1970s. Missouri courts wait until a baby is born to establish paternity, custody, and child support. And this is based on the belief that paternity tests are not the most effective until after a baby's born.
Well, that makes no fucking sense, Missouri. First off, this law was passed in the 1970s when the technology used for DNA paternity tests was already 50 years old by that point, having been invented in 1925. So claiming paternity tests aren't trustworthy in the 70s and that the baby had to be born seems more to me about wanting to see the baby before awarding custody and financial support to the mother, which got me thinking. Is this about racism? And that's because Missouri was the first state to enact an anti-interracial marriage law in 1835 that allowed a jury to, quote, determine the proportion of Negro blood in any party to such a marriage by the appearance of such a person for marriage prohibition purposes. So in other words, Missouri is concerned about the color of your baby, specifically how brown a baby born to a white woman is, because seeing is believing, right? And Missouri wouldn't want to weigh down a white guy with child support and visitation if the child isn't a whiter shade of pale, would they? Oh, and while we're on the subject of controlling women's bodies, the Republicans made what can only be described as a hostage video filmed in a kitchen somewhere in Alabama as their rebuttal to President Biden's State of the Union speech this week. During a 17-minute long recording, Alabama Senator and apparently not good for anything but making a sandwich, Republican Katie Britt didn't blink once, which left audiences wondering if she is okay or maybe she just doesn't know Morse code. Because here is the Republicans' reaction to Senator Katie Britt's kitchen talk.
For the first 60 seconds or so of the speech, it seemed fine. She was smiling at her kitchen table, talking about the future of America, but it quickly took a real turn.
It, shall we say, is not getting great reviews from Republicans. An anonymous strategist told the Daily Beast, quote, it's one of our biggest disasters ever. Former Trump aide Alyssa Farah Griffin tweeted, Senator Katie Britt is a very impressive person. I do not understand the decision to put her in a kitchen.
I'm sure she's very nice. And I don't want to get over the top here. But that is the everything about that on a night like tonight is wrong.
I don't know what the F I saw. She looked like she was auditioning for a show on Lifetime. It was totally cringe. She embarrassed herself. She embarrassed the Republicans. And she embarrassed women.
And I'm with you on this one, Megan. The sus was strong with Katie Britt. Between her over-the-top impression of Liv Tyler's speaking voice to the way she made anyone watching question whether or not she is AI-generated, Everything about these 17 minutes was wrong. From filming the rebuttal in a kitchen to having a woman sit in a kitchen and read a script with the emotional range of Elizabeth Berkley in Showgirls, this was a disaster. And because this whole thing is hilarious content, here is some of the unintended but best parts of the speech that may have ended Katie's senatorial future.
Our country can do better. And you don't have to look any further than the crisis at our southern border to see it. When I took office, I took a different approach. I traveled to the Del Rio sector of Texas. That's where I spoke to a woman who shared her story with me. She had been sex trafficked by the cartels starting at the age of 12. She told me not just that she was raped every day, but how many times a day she was raped. We wouldn't be okay with this happening in a third world country. This is the United States of America, and it is past time, in my opinion, that we start acting like it. President Biden's border policies are a disgrace. This crisis is despicable. And the truth is, it is almost entirely preventable.
All right, calm down, Napoleon Dynamite, because this is a little bit extra even for General Hospital. But I do want to stop Katie's CW audition tape just for a moment, because that sex trafficking story does sound quite interesting, doesn't it? So interesting, in fact, I looked it up, and this story does not disappoint. See, back in 2015, a woman who was the victim of Mexican sex trafficking by Mexicans in Mexico testified to the U.S. Congress about her experiences from 2004 to 2008. That woman's horrific recount of what happened to her is in the congressional record for anyone to read. And apparently, Katie read this woman's story, because since Katie's 2022 campaign for the seat that she currently holds, by the way, she's been telling this same story to anyone who does not know how time works. Because Katie wasn't a senator back in 2015 when the sex trafficking victim told this story to Congress. She wasn't in Texas speaking to Katie in 2022, 7 years after her testimony on Capitol Hill. And that's because even from Katie's kitchen table.
You sit on a throne of lies.
And folks, we are about 5 minutes into Katie's stern kitchen talk, and she's already lying about a woman who was the victim of sex trafficking 16 years ago, trying to pass it off as if President Biden had something to do with it all, when he wasn't even president then, or for that matter, vice president. But then Katie has to go and deliver her lies with a heaping dose of the worst overacting anyone has overacted in the history of overacting. Roll tape.
Mr. President, enough is enough. Innocent Americans are dying, and you only have yourself to blame. End this crisis and stop the suffering. President Biden has failed. He is making us a punchline on the world stage. The free world deserves better than a dithering and diminished leader. Just ask yourself, are you better off now than you were 3 years ago?
Clearly, this bitch cannot math. Or perhaps her speechwriter went to a grade school in Alabama. Because that line about life being worse 3 years ago, yeah. Katie has obviously forgotten that 3 years ago we were in the beginning of a pandemic the frontrunner for her party's presidential nomination helped create. With his injecting bleach and shining a bright light into those who were suffering from COVID because, I don't know, they either refused to get vaccinated or unfortunately was exposed to an unvaccinated maggot hopped up on ivermectin. So no, Katie, America wasn't better before Biden. except for that overbreathed line about America being a punchline. Yeah, that's only because the only highlight from the former guy's disaster of administration is the fact that he actually left office. But hey, I've come to realize Republicans aren't smarter than a fifth grader, even their politicians. So please, Katie, go on with your reenactment of a Lifetime movie you were watching instead of Biden's State of the Union address.
First of all, we see you. We hear you. And we stand with you. Every generation has been called to do hard things. American greatness rests in the fact that we always answer that call. We are steeped in the blood of patriots. Our history has been written with the grit of men and women who got knocked down. We are here because they stood back up.
I'm sorry, but did I just hear this low-talking Karen use the lyrics from that Chumbawamba song to describe American Revolutionary soldiers? Who the fuck is your target audience, Katie? I am so confused. But I do get it. Right now, being a Republican must feel like being knocked down, but that's only because you guys get up again. Don't let anyone keep you down. Especially after Super Tuesday and the hilarious revelation that although the tiny-handed grifter got more votes than Namatra Haley, that doesn't mean he's got enough Republican votes in total to win against Joe Biden in a general election. And that's because...
What made you switch from Trump to Nikki Haley?
The man is a lunatic.
It's the voice of reason. Not the voice of treason.
And I wanted to make sure that I will put out a vote against Donald Trump.
I think Donald Trump is a threat to the well-being of our country.
I was a Trump voter in 2016, not 2020. And so I'm ready to stop him.
Mr. Trump would sell his own grandmother if he could for a profit.
He's out of control.
He's chaos. He's going to be working on his court cases for the whole time.
After January 6th and all that, I'm like, there's no way I could ever vote for him again.
I voted for Trump twice. I will not.
Sex cases and all the, I mean, come on, just the fact that you have all the criminal stuff.
I think Trump will sell Ukraine to Putin. It's a threat to global security. And it's a big issue.
Well, well, well. Sounds to me like Haley voters aren't going to just fall in line and vote for the orange Mussolini just because he's going to be the Republican candidate for president. Again. Apparently, stealing classified documents you've almost certainly sold to our nation's adversaries, receiving 4 federal indictments and 91 criminal charges, as well as lying to banks so you can get cheaper interest rates on loans you shouldn't have gotten in the first place, isn't a good look for Republican voters who haven't been magnetized. So according to After Super Tuesday polling, 63% of Haley voters would rather vote for Joe Biden in the general election than allow traitor Don near the White House for a second time, which means just one thing. Comer Caligula is not going to be Biden in November. For a lot of reasons, of course, and obviously I've mentioned a few, but there's also this exchange on Super Tuesday with a journalist from the UK and Georgia's Paleolithic excuse for a congresswoman and fangirl hoping to be Genghis Khan's VP pick, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Roll tape.
Do you think President Trump, Mr. Trump, is closer to picking his VP, and should you be on that list?
Oh, you know, that's the question everyone asks. And no, I don't think Nikki Haley should be on the list. But of course, President Trump will choose who he wants for VP.
Would you like to be on that list?
He's got a long list. I support President Trump in any way he'd ask me, but I can assure you it won't be Nikki Haley.
And can you tell me why so many people that support Donald Trump love conspiracy theories, including yourself. He seems to attract lots of conspiracy theorists.
Well, let me tell you, you're a conspiracy theorist, and the left and the media spreads more conspiracy theories. We like the truth. We like supporting our Constitution, our freedoms, and America first. So,
what about Jewish space lasers? Tell us about Jewish space lasers.
No, why don't you go talk about Jewish space lasers? And really, why don't you fuck off? How about that?
Thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Seriously, Georgia, we need to have a talk. This is the best that you could find to send to our House of Representatives for our federal government? This is a self-proclaimed Jewish space laser expert and all-around Christian nationalist giving the old fuck you to a journalist from the UK. Because it's classy. But you know, none of that grade school level clapback would have even happened if it weren't for the supreme disappointment who just a day before Super Tuesday decided to drop this little nugget.
Breaking news from the Supreme Court. The justices have just ruled on whether former President Donald Trump can be disqualified as a presidential candidate and removed from state ballots as he was in Colorado and other states.
Learned that it was a 9-0 decision ruling that Donald Trump can be on the ballot in Colorado and other states.
All 9 justices of the Supreme Court agree that states cannot kick candidates off the ballot under the 14th Amendment.
Court here saying because the Constitution makes Congress rather than the states responsible for enforcing Section 3 against federal office holders and candidates.
And what the Supreme Court said is that states can't enforce that it requires Congress to pass a law to outline how that clause should be enforced, concluding very simply that responsibility for enforcing that part of the Constitution rests with Congress and not with the states.
The decision today, of course, coming ahead of tomorrow's Super Tuesday contest, when 15 states, including Colorado, will hold primary elections.
Like I've said before on this show and many others, it's good to be the lumpy schmuck who was in office when 3 opportunities to fuck up the U.S. Supreme Court became available. And oh, Lordy, did Eric's dad not disappoint? Because let's be clear about this particular ruling. All 9 justices ruled that states do not have the right to decide who is on their ballot unless it is a state election. Then states have rights. Oh, and when it comes to controlling women's bodies, states have rights then too, but applying the insurrection clause to a presidential candidate is a state's rights too far, at least for the maggot-heavy Supremes. Make it make sense, guys. Or, as the Big Lebowski said in all caps on his knockoff Twitter site, and again from his retirement home in Florida.
Perhaps unsurprisingly, we do have a statement now from the former president.
It's a short one, Craig. Quote, "Big win for America," all caps on his social media account.
We are taking you right now live to Palm Beach, Florida.
You cannot take somebody out of a race. The voters can take the person out of the race very quickly, but a court shouldn't be doing that, and the Supreme Court saw that very well. While most states were thrilled to have me, there were some that didn't, and they didn't want that for political reasons. They didn't want that because of poll numbers, and you can't do that. You can't do what they tried to do.
Okay, sure. Maybe in your bronze-colored Fourth Reich that you've got planned when you get reelected, but, you know, all 9 justices on the Supreme Intelligence agreed that states don't have this particular right, so I can't even blame the maggot supermajority on the court. It's all some bullshit. Like the idea that Black Americans as a whole are going gaga for Freddy Krueger just because he's got Chinese-made Kmart special high tops for sale for $400. And then there are those pictures that have suddenly gone viral all over social media showing Jabba the Hutt hanging out with rando Black people. Hard to believe, right? Well, you wouldn't be wrong.
Don't believe the BS. Black people ain't down with Donald Trump.
Pro-Trump conservatives are making a push to win over Black voters with images generated by artificial intelligence. Conservatives have published dozens of false images, also known as deepfakes, featuring Black voters wearing pro-Trump paraphernalia and standing around him, according to the BBC.
The BBC did a deep dive on this, and they were able to track down the creators of at least one of these images that was shared to more than 1 million people on Facebook.
An image featuring a group of black people around Trump was published by the conservative radio show host Mark Kay. Kay defended the images, noting he was not claiming they were real.
The image, along with an article talking about Donald Trump, you know, courting black voters, did get a lot of people in the comments that believed the images were in fact real.
These fake images of black Trump supporters generated by artificial intelligence are one of the emerging disinformation trends ahead of November's presidential election.
I fucking knew it. It's the maggots who are doing this. These are the same lowlives that go on and on about fake news and fake polling numbers, and basically anything that doesn't confirm their bias is fake. So now the poorly educated have decided, well, if black people won't support our dear leader, we will just use AI to make pictures of a lie that we want to be true, because how else is the Leaning Tower of Orange going to win over black voters? Way to go, dumbasses. And all of this for a broke-ass bitch who thinks that box-colored trash panda he wears on his head is fooling anyone.
We begin with breaking news in one of Donald Trump's legal cases. Just moments ago, NBC News learned Donald Trump has posted a bond of over $91 million in the E. Jean Carroll case.
Alina Haba, who is one of Trump's lawyers and indeed the lead lawyer in the E. Jean Carroll case, filed a motion with the court to post a bond in the amount of $91 million and $630,000 as well. That represents the total amount that would be required to obtain a stay pending appeal.
The bond guarantees Carroll will be paid the full amount plus interest if Trump's appeal fails.
And good for E. Jean Carroll after having been raped and harassed for decades by her rapist. There's just one thing about this whole posting a bond for a man who swears he's a billionaire so freaking bad that just doesn't sit well with me. And that's the Chubb Company, the corporation that put up Mar-a-Lago's $91 million payment to Carroll. See, they are internationally known and they have a headquarters in Moscow, the same Moscow that's located in Russia. The country that's done more to help old Drinks with Two Hands' political career than all the idiots that continue to donate money to his campaign, knowing he's using that money to pay for his legal bills. Now, I don't know for a fact that the quarter flounder is in debt to Russia for helping pony up the funds because he doesn't have $91 million plus to give E. Jean Carroll. I just know it's true. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. But if that's not enough for you, you can catch me once a week on Facepalm America with host Beowulf Recklin, where we make fun of the news in real time on a recorded podcast. You can follow This Week Again on social media, wherever you can find us. And we're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.